141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on yet another big weekend across Scottish football. Hearts stay top, but the gap is cut to just 1 point after they draw at Livingston, and Rangers beat Dundee United. Celtic only 3 off top after beating Dundee at Dens Park yesterday, and there were big wins for St Mirren and Hibs, and especially Falkirk, who secure a top 6 spot. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna.
3 teams, 3 points between them, just 6 games to go. The most thrilling conclusion to a title race for years, and it's getting pretty nervous at the bottom too. Gordon, Killy, St Mirren, Aberdeen, Dundee, all jostling to avoid this relegation playoff place, and just one more sleep for the conspiracy theorists before they can get their teeth into the post-split fixtures. Thank goodness we're on tonight, not tomorrow night, Andrew.
Exactly, and it's felt like 6 months I've been asking you to give me a league prediction. I wish I joined you and not giving you one, because my opinion is maybe starting to falter a little bit. See. On Saturday afternoon, Rangers hit top of the table for the first time in 2 years. Then it goes to Hearts, top of the table against bottom of the table Livingston. They drop points. I'm then looking at Dens Park thinking, if Celtic don't win, they're out of the title race. Depending on how the results go next week, Celtic could be favourites again. You just don't know what's going to happen.
And depending on how results go at the weekend, they could all be level come Sunday afternoon.
0141 951 1025. For what feels like the 500th Monday in a row, how are you feeling about the title race now? We ask you every Monday because it changes every week, and that's that. It's kept on going. Still only one weekend this season, all 3 title contenders have won at the same time. Hearts, of course, the ones who falter this weekend. So what does that do? We want to hear from you all. Rangers fans, you got a taste, you got the scent of being top of the table for a bit. How did it feel? It was short-lived, but do you think it will come through in the end? Do you think you're the ones with that sort of momentum and form, given that Hearts did drop points? Yes, they're still top. It is still a 1 point advantage. So Hearts fans, is that something you want to focus on? Or is the way that lead is diminishing starting to be a concern to you, and maybe a boost to you, Rangers fans? Celtic fans, there was a lot of people, maybe even amongst your fan base, maybe on this show as well, kind of writing you off last week, but won the game yesterday, first victory in Dundee this season, and it is only 3 points off top spot. So how are you feeling? How big was that yesterday? How important was it? And that's before we get to any of the individual talking points within the games. It's the usual Monday night fare. There's loads of red cards and penalties given and not given, big decisions, and of course huge results elsewhere as well. Falkirk fans, well done to you. A top 6 place confirmed in your first season back in the top flight, and with a game to spare. So what did you make of that? Aberdeen fans, how much trouble are you in? 0141 951 1025. Get them in right now if you can, whilst these two set the tone for you. Result of the weekend was?
You mentioned on there, Falkirk. All credit to John McGlynn, to our own Brian Graham, to everyone associated with the team, because just 2 years ago they were coming out of League One, they went straight through the Championship. I saw them on the 9th of August lose at Livingston. Nobody loses at Livingston, as you well know, Gordon. And I thought, aye, this might be a difficult season. And John McGlynn has just worked the miracle again. Fantastic. They deserve to be in the top 6. They're one of the best 6 teams in the country, and they could yet finish up in a Scottish Cup final or even better.
Result of the weekend, Andy Halliday.
I'm going to go for St Mirren. It was a big game at the Smyzer Stadium, dubbed as a Stephen Robinson derby. He was obviously returning to Paisley so soon after leaving the club and joining Aberdeen. It was the battle for 11th place that a lot of people think they're obviously in amongst it with Kilmarnock, and there was only one side that were up for the battle, that's for sure, and that was St Mirren. I thought they battered Aberdeen for pillar to post in the first half and ended up comfortable winners 2-0.
Goal of the weekend, Roger Hanna.
Goal of the weekend, I'm going to go to the Smyzer and I'm going to give it to Jonah Ayunga. What a bonus it was for Craig McLeish to get Ayunga and Micah Mandron together against Stephen Robinson at the weekend, and what a goal it was he scored to put St Mirren ahead.
A nice touch, wasn't it, to set himself up?
Yeah,
yeah, no problem with that, won't disagree. Your goal of the weekend, Andy?
Well, you went to the Smize. I'm going just down the road to Clyde Bank, because I tell you what, if you want to see Go of the Weekend, I'll give you Go of the Weekend and potentially Go of the Year. Go to Clyde Bank, go and look at Owen Wardell's fourth goal for Clyde Bank on Saturday. Unbelievable one-touch football, played through the lines, played in behind, cut back, goal in at an empty net. Soccer.
And let me tell you, for the 49 people who messaged me saying, Andy Halliday better pick this as his goal of the weekend.
Oh, come on, you know I'm not missing that.
He loves a team goal. You were already across it.
Yep. What a goal.
Good. Right, howler of the
pinched
weekend.
Pinched it off me. Unbelievable.
I and by to, the way, you know, I'm, not, you know big, I'm the man for the team
it
goals.
It could be a big week for the Bankies.
It could.
Linlithgow on Saturday at the top of that Lowland League. They could be in a playoff, most likely against Brechin, to get back into the SPFL.
They'd be a fantastic, at it anyway. They'd be a fantastic addition to the pyramid.
Howler of the weekend.
Well, I'm going to go to the combination of Duncan Nicholson and VAR at Firth Park for a couple of incidents, but certainly one incident in particular. Now, Roger quite rightly gave Falkirk result of the weekend. I will state Falkirk were absolutely terrific at the weekend, thoroughly deserved the 3 points, but that all could have changed if the combination of the officials made the correct decision in giving Tawanda Maswanisi a penalty after 10 minutes. And that could have led to the Welsh show's favourite word. Was it dogs though? It could have been a penalty. It could have been 10 men, but somehow they never spotted it.
I'm going to have to go no comment on that. I don't want you to upset me so early in the show.
You're not finished yet. Come on.
I also think the pointing to the spot for Ibrahim Saeed's is, oh, I don't even want to say anymore. I mean, if you think that's a pull in the box, you'll think anything's a pull in the box, because his arms are around him with two hands, and the Falkirk player feels contact, throws his silk to the floor, gets the penalty.
Speaking of arms around, what about Mark Leonard's red card for Hearts at Livy yesterday? I was there. I'm not quite sure what came over him, but wrestling.
It's the right decision for you, that one.
Yeah, I think so. It was a dog.
Is that your howler then,
Robert?
Or are you
well,
going something else?
You know something? I always liked it, something from the game I was at, and it's going to take something special like that to get past Ross County, because when Stuart Kettlewell, the manager of Ross County, says losing 4-0 at home to Airdrie is the worst result in Ross County's history, then they don't need me to say it's the howler.
Okay, and your top performer of the weekend goes to...
I told you I'm going to be fair to Falkirk, because I did think they thoroughly deserved the win, and I'm going to go to Calvin Miller. I thought Calvin Miller was the best player on the pitch all afternoon. He puts in the cross for Barney Stewart's opener. He was a constant threat throughout. He obviously he put a lot of press on for the second goal. He scores the third. He nearly scores an unbelievable goal where he plucks one out the sky and tries to lob the goalkeeper for 40 yards out. And for a player that I think could have felt hard done by not making the last Scotland squad, if he keeps up the performances like he did at the weekend, he'll make it very, very difficult to ignore him for the
World
Cup.
Your top performer was Roger Hanna.
I'll go for Alec Gogish of St Mirren, a talisman for so long for Stephen Robinson in Paisley, and he gave Stephen Robinson a sore one at the weekend, and I'm also happy to give him the award because I know he'll discuss it with the Dazzler at the school gates during the week.
0141 951 1025. Let's get stuck straight in. Stephen is a Celtic fan. You were the last to go this weekend, Stephen. You won the game. Where does that leave you in the title race now?
I think it puts us in with a reasonable shout. I think had we not won it, then we're probably we're definitely out of it then. I think that if you look at what the post-split fixtures will be, Celtic, I think, including St Mirren at the weekend, they're going to have 4 at home, mm-hmm. 2 away, and I think that could be really pivotal. I'd obviously significantly rather have Rangers and Hearts at Celtic Park than having them away from home. And I think, obviously, they are kind of straight shots. They're kind of six-pointers. I feel like Celtic have got this kind of knack of just not going away this season. And while everyone else is talking about Rangers and Hearts, we're there still. Mm-hmm. We're only 3 points behind, and I feel like that probably suits Celtic. Right, I'm hoping Ingles is back relatively soon. Hoping Johnson's back relatively soon, and you could be looking at a double still. I don't think it's totally... I think Hearts' bottle will go, and then it'll be a shootout between us and Rangers, because Hearts' away form's pretty poor.
I was going to say, what did you to make of Celtic yesterday? And then where does it leave them? I suppose you're going to have to bring Hearts into your answer here, I suppose, but where does it all sit now?
First thing you say, Celtic have much improved from their previous visit to Dundee a couple of weeks earlier when they lost at Tannadice. They got the job done. You mentioned, I think, Gordon, there's only one weekend this season when all three teams have won. and that probably indicates there's not a huge gap between the top three and the rest. So they are vulnerable wherever they go, whenever they go. There'll be lots of points dropped after the split. You would struggle to see all three of them winning their games this weekend. So Celtic are right in it. Stephen's right. Celtic are in it in terms of the league. They're in it in terms of the Scottish Cup. And despite everything that's happened this season, they are genuine title contenders.
Just quickly, that's still going to be good. We've secured it really to the end of the season because there's head-to-heads coming up. So there's only three more weekends where they can all win at the same time. And let's assume they probably won't anyway. But even if they did, it's going to be a maximum of four weekends across the season where they all won at the same time. Anyway, Celtic yesterday, Andy. Stephen's kind of pointing out that good win shows they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, and like I said, I thought going into the game, I thought somebody would drop points on the Sunday, and I thought it would be Celtic. And I thought if they did drop points at Dens Park, for me, that was Celtic out of the title race. And I don't say this lightly. It's very, very possible the next time we're sitting on this chair next Monday, Celtic could be favourites, such as there's only been one weekend, as you says, that all three have won. You think Celtic probably have the most favourable out of the three in terms of the fixtures next weekend. And then they have, like they said, the added advantage of three home games after the split. Obviously a home game against Rangers, a home game against Hearts. But in terms of the performance in itself, I thought it was much improved, especially in the first half. I thought Celtic played with a lot more intensity and intent off the ball. But I do think there still has to be an element of worry of their ability to control games a little bit for sustained periods. Because I thought in the second half, I thought Dundee fully came into the game, and I thought Celtic lost the sort of midfield battle for the next sort of half an hour of the game. But the most important thing for them is they got the 3 points.
Would you make of that, Stephen? Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, no, I would say so. I think it was, you thought, you had a feeling when it went one each, there's about 10 minutes left in the clock, that's when it you kind of, your true emotions come, and I thought, see, if we don't score here, it's probably done. And I think there was a bit of relief when that, obviously the goal went in, and then sending off that followed. But I think that was kind of, it felt like a big win. You get kind of gut feelings in these title races, and I think St Mirren will be no walkover on Saturday, but I do feel the atmosphere around Celtic Park will be one of real optimism. Everyone will have kind of one eye on the Hearts score as well.
I take it was obviously combined yesterday though, Stephen, you know, with Hearts dropping points. So, and you said you think their bottle will go, like whether it's bottle or not, but did you see yesterday as a sort of encouraging sign that they are dropping off and that you're not?
I think so, yeah. I think that's probably Martin Neal's team talk was done for him before. He would have just said, there's 2 points dropped. If you want to win the league, you need to win these games. And I think it probably is. 6 cup finals, it's similar to what Rangers are saying. And I think everyone will feel like it's in their own hands. If you ask Hearts fans, if you ask Rangers fans, if you ask Celtic fans, they'll say, if you win the next 6 games, you win the league. But how likely that is, I'm not sure. But I do think Celtic are different at Celtic Park than they are away from home there. Even this season, I think it's a big advantage playing at Celtic Park.
As I said, we'd like to bring Hearts fans onto the show as well and get into it, but it's hard to kind of separate it. It's all so linked. You understand where Stephen's coming from, because yesterday is not only a Celtic win, but it comes in the back of Hearts dropping points. Where are you, Mr. Hearts? You were one of the earliest to say Hearts would win it. You've been trying to get Roger Hanna convinced. One solitary point.
Yeah. Don't wobble now. Come on.
No, listen, I'm not wobbling as it stands, but I've been using a kind of percentage format, as you know.
Right.
And the percentage has certainly decreased a fair size since Sunday's game.
You've given us numbers.
I'm probably at about 40% Hearts just now, and I'll go 35 Rangers, 25 Celtic. Is that even 100%?
Yeah.
But I tell you what, and this is the thing about, you know, the title race we've got. See, by next week, I could literally completely change my opinion for the first time. Now, I've been on Hearts for a long period of time, but if Hearts don't, I have felt that it's important that Hearts went into the split top of the table. I have felt that, because I do think going away to Celtic Park, going away to Easter Road, going away to Firth Park, I do think that the fixtures are not stacked against them, but they're certainly on paper slightly more difficult than Celtic. So I felt it being top of the table, having that little bit of cushion, I think has been huge. I thought Rangers in spells played as good as they've played for a number of weeks. So I do think that Rangers are probably hitting the right form at the right time. Hearts probably aren't at this stage, and then Celtic are just there.
What are you saying that when Yuri Jovu hit the post for 3-3 at Ibrox on Saturday afternoon?
Well, thankfully, When I watched the game back at Sunday morning, so I know the end result for that. So no, there was no real fear when he headed it.
You made a very good point.
I still think they can go in when I watch games back.
Exactly. Celtic not control the game. None of the three teams have shown any great ability for sustained periods to control games of football. Rangers twice led by two goals at the weekend, closed the game out, you know, see it out, and they couldn't. You know, back to 2-1, back to 3-2. Jovo hits the post for 3-3. You know, there's drama all the time with Rangers. Same with Hearts. You and I were at Livingston yesterday, Gordon. When Braga scores to put Hearts 2-1 up, you expect Hearts to go and close it out 3-1 or 4-1.
I've worked at quite a lot of Hearts games this season, and actually I felt like there was quite a big spell in the middle of the game.
They were good until Livingston equalised at 2-2, and then at 2-2, something fell away from Hearts.
Is that the surprise? And Hearts fans, please do join in, that not only does the goal level the game and then cost you the points, but I was amazed at how much it knocked the stuffing out of Hearts. I can't believe that title chasing Hearts didn't manage to throw the kitchen sink at it at the end.
You know, Celtic had a setback yesterday when they lost the penalty for the handball and Simon Murray equalised, but Celtic rallied. Rangers had a couple of setbacks at the weekend when United got back within range and they rallied. Miofsky scored at the end. You were just waiting, you know, when Hearts, I was actually exchanging texts with our own David Friel at 2-2, and David was, Hearts will still win this, and I tended to agree with him. I said, yeah, they probably will. And not only did they not kick on and win it, but towards the end, Livy looked more likely, you know, Robbie Muirhead off the bench, Lewis Smith, who was excellent, they looked more likely to score the fifth goal of the game.
Might seem like a small thing, and I don't mean to sound like your dad who wants the ball booted up the pitch, but in the 94th minute, they weren't even getting the ball forward. I thought it was very bizarre.
Well, the best example of exactly what you're saying is Craig Halkett picks up the ball for probably 30 yards out for goal, and he plays it out wide and continues his run in the box because he knows there's only 15 seconds left of the game. So he's expecting Hearts to just throw the last dice at it, but they then switch the play, they lose the ball, and then where Craig Halkett would be in the pitch, he's no longer
for the red card.
Which leads to Dogzo.
Thank you very much to Stephen. Let me squeeze one more in if we can. Davey is in Paisley or from Paisley. Davey, where are Celtic now then? Where are your confidence levels? Andy Halliday's gone 35%. You don't need to put a number on it, but what do you think?
Quite not, Andy, to be honest. Good evening, watched the game yesterday and looking at some of the comments on social media, how with most of good Celtic played, giving four up in the first half, start taking their chances. It's a different game. The players relax, become more confident. I thought we played okay in the first half. Second half, it's against the wall when Dundee scored. My point is, so there's four home games to go, two away. With the Celtic board, everybody back on board for the last four games and get everybody in that ground. Get it rocking. Get everybody, get it back into the fans. Can see he's putting the title.
Roger, I mean, Davey, that sounds good. I've no idea whether the tight nature of things impacts the discussion between Celtic as a club and elements of the fan base and whether that's joined up or not. No idea. I don't know if you've got any further knowledge.
You know something? I actually don't. I know there have been sporadic talks between the Celtic Fans Collective, / Green Brigade and the club. I don't think the Green Brigade have been told they're getting back in for the St Mirren game or all the three post-split fixtures or not. But it's getting to that stage of the season. Fans will turn up, 7,000 Hearts fans turned up in the snow and the hail and everything at Livy yesterday. So fans will back the team. It's human nature. Fans will rally behind and support the team. And I'm pretty sure at what you described in the show on Saturday, Gordon, is the business end of the season will be enough to ensure that every Celtic fan is loud, vociferous, and gives Martin O'Neill and his team their backing in the St Mirren game on Saturday.
Where's that balance at? I wonder if we'll hear similar points from Rangers fans, Andy, about, you know, taking chances, because Davey's really feeling quite positive about it and saying, well, you know, if we take the chances in the first half, but also that if still remains, and that, you know, then the second half does become much more of a worry for Celtic than it should. Where's the balance between the good bits and the bad bits?
Yeah, well, I think we have seen elements of that in Celtic this season, where they have been good in spells, but the spells haven't been a run of games. It's been 45 minutes of a game. They don't really seem to be able to put that kind of 90 minute performance together. And I don't disagree with Davey at all. I think from a chance creation point of view, in the first half, is as good as Celtic have been for a number of weeks now. And you do look at Chavan Chara, obviously, chipping John McCracken and hitting the post. I think it was Yang that tried to bundle one at the back post. No, they had so many chances to make the game out of sight, but I do think there has been an element of worry, where I think a lot of Celtic's success in the first half was off the ball. It was pressing Dundee, it was winning the ball back, and it was playing forward quickly. But when it actually comes to having to break a team down and controlling games in the middle of the pitch, I thought Dundee worked their way back into the game and, you know, landed on a lot of second balls, made it a lot difficult for Celtic. And then I must say, I don't know if Davey agrees or not, when Celtic scored their goal, it came at a point where I'd just never seen Celtic score. I thought Dundee looked really comfortable in the game. I thought it was almost going to peter out into a 1-1, but take nothing away from them, because there's been a lot said about Celtic as a squad. It was the subs that made the difference for Celtic again. It was Cerracci coming off the bench that puts in a ball for Iheanacho, who comes off the bench for Chavan Chara, and then he does what he does by taking a first touch, steadying himself, and then striker's instinct to put it in the back of the net.
The nudge he gives the defender, is that? That within the bounds of what you're allowed, Twitter as usual, debating these things last night.
It's not a foul for me. I'm expecting Astley to be a lot stronger in that scenario. He does have two hands in his back, but I don't think there's enough force for him to go down the way he does. I'm expecting him to be able to deal with that. And then he probably compounds that error by getting sent off a couple of minutes later, which I don't think he'd have too much complaints about either.
Never going to let you down.
It's never a foul, you know. It's a contact sport. It's not as if he wrestled him the way Mark Leonard did or the way Ibrahim Saeed did.
It's very similar to the side situation. I'll give you that.
Right, thank you, Davey. 01419511025. Couple of optimistic Celtic fans there. What about you, Rangers fans, Hearts fans? Get involved. We'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are pouring over the weekend's football. There's always loads to get through, so if you think we've missed something, you've got a slightly different perspective on things, or a different incident you want to talk about, tell us. 0141 951 1025. We looked at Celtic's role in the title race before the break. What about Scott, who's a Rangers fan? You were top for a bit, Scott. You got a taste of it. How are you feeling now?
Probably not as confident as I was last week, especially after Celtic getting that result yesterday. One of my points. Well, can I go on about this? Is he in the panel right now?
He is not, unfortunately. We all miss him.
Not. Aye. So just a wee quick one about Shue. I would rather Shue says that Rangers had no chance of winning the league rather than Celtic, because most things they say are the opposite.
He was very strong Friday, Saturday. Celtic absolutely, in fact, 0% chance he was given it.
Is that why Janet phoned him during the show on Saturday?
I know, imagine the Nokia ringing at 10 to 6. He'll be listening tonight, but anyway, we'll speak to him later in the week and see what he thinks. For now, Scott, what do you think about the so why, did you expect Celtic to drop points yesterday, and the fact that they didn't means your confidence is down a bit?
Don't really know what I expected, but obviously looking at it now, it's crazy how things are changing week by week, because Celtic absolutely have a chance of winning the league, so I don't know where she even comes from for that one. But my point, yesterday, what I'm going to say, I think it's going to fall down to the Old Firm game, because if you look at the fixtures, and I know that Falkirk have beat us already and are playing really well, but I expect to beat them. I think if you look at the Old Firm game, if one of them all get beat, then I think they're at the title and they're favourites. I don't see Hearts even being Hearts right now are even third favourites, even though they're a point in front. You look at their fixtures, and there's no way they're going to be. I'm going to say Hearts have no chance.
Right, hold on then, because he's shouting at his old radio in his man cave. How can the team at the top have no chance, but the team in third have definitely got a chance?
I just think looking at the fixtures, you'll probably find after the next. Probably last two games, I'll predict that Hearts will be third in that league, and get into the last two games, it'll be Celtic or Rangers. That's what I see in the new goal. I just don't understand absolutely where Hugh came with the Celtic one, though, because our Celtic here today, yesterday, which they did, was get that result. If they've got four home games, you know, it's all ifs and buts, but they beat us at Parkhead, they go a point front, so I don't know where Hugh comes to. But anyway, that's a Celtic part. He wound all the Rangers fans, Celtic fans, all that. I just wish that he wouldn't say things like that, because 99% things, it's the opposite of what he says. I'd rather say Rangers had no chance, then I'd think that we have a chance. But anyway, so I want to go to the game yesterday. I think Fernandes wasn't playing yesterday, obviously, with the travelling for playing for Nigeria, and I believe he scored a goal. But as much as I've been a Souter fan, I watched the game, the whole game, and he's all over the place. He's not even fit enough. And I just think, I can't wait if Fernandes comes back and Souter goes back on the bench, because he's too slow. When we play a high line, he's far too slow. And even I know he'd done one good block at the time. I think we were 3-1 up, but I'm just looking forward to Fernandes getting back again and have a stronger defence with Giga at the back, because we suit on the back. I still feel he's got a mistake in him, and he's no defender for Rangers he used to be.
Funny how quickly things change. Imagine you'd been away for a few months and you just tuned in tonight to hear Rangers fans pining for a back two of Giga and Fernandes when at the start of the season it wasn't the case. What did you make of Rangers at the weekend, Andy, and where they are now, and pick up Scott's specifics as well?
In terms of the game, I thought Rangers actually go 2-0 up in the spell where they probably weren't at their best in the game. I thought it was quite frantic. I thought it was quite end-to-end. I thought in the opening 40 minutes of the game, I thought Dundee United looked really, really dangerous on the counter-attack. And then for me, the opening 30 minutes of the second half is as good as Rangers have been for weeks. I thought they could have scored 4 or 5 goals in that spell. I thought the introduction of Gassama at half-time made a real difference to them. I thought they played with a lot more energy, a lot more directness. I thought Chermiti was the same. The only thing that's missing, and again, is obviously the most important thing, is putting the ball in the back of the net, because he has 2 or 3 glorious chances to do so. But then you're expecting a real, real nervy Ibrox when it goes to 3-2. And like you say, Jovo hits the post, where it would have been a really, really nervy Ibrox. But obviously tame the nerves a wee bit when Bojan Miorski gets that goal to settle the nerves. And in terms of the individuals, the reason you're wanting Fernandes back, Scott, is because he's arguably been Rangers Player of the Year. He's been a revelation over the last 4 or 5 months. He then gets that call up to Nigeria, obviously scores a goal on his start. And I think John Souter, I think John Souter over a whole, I think he's had good spells within the season, but obviously I think over the last month or so, he's probably been at fault for a few individual goals. I think Nasser Giga in that time has played as good as he's played in the Rangers jersey. So I think at this moment in time, I do think the best centre-half partnership is Giga and Fernandes, and a big thing for that is, like you say, talked about Dundee United being good in the counter-attack, the pace of Nasser Giga and Fernandes to try and dispel as much as that as possible is such an asset for Rangers.
Where did Saturday leave Rangers specifically, Roger, in terms of how you see their title credentials? Did it change them either way?
No, not especially. It was a game they had to win. It was the last game they'll have this season against a team in the bottom six. They were at Ibrox, they had to win it. They're impressive at home. I think it's 22 goals in 6 games now. Sometimes
it's time to talk about goal difference as well. Certainly got a sizeable lead over Celtic in that regard, and a healthy one over Hearts.
They do. I don't think Danny Rowell will necessarily be happy with the trade off that if you scored 4 at home, you need to lose 2 every time. The sort of back four, Tavernier was first pick and now isn't. Souter was first pick and now isn't. Magoma was first pick and now isn't. I think if they're all fit, you probably all agree it's Sterling, Giga, Fernandes and Romans at the back. It's Raskin and Chukwuani in the middle of the park. It's Mikey Moore. Asgard has found a little bit of form. Gassama's shown a wee bit when he came on for Scott Volson, who frankly won't do. Interesting to hear how Naderi is. I think the manager said when he took him off at half time, he was not okay. So it'll be interesting to see how he is, whether he's available for Falkirk. Falkirk will be awkward. Falkirk did for Russell Martin earlier in the season when he was secreted out the back door and smuggled away from the Falkirk Stadium. It will be awkward. Falkirk can play with a freedom. You saw that at Firth Park at the weekend.
I also feel like they're just getting better.
They're securing the top 6
as they go.
They've done their job league-wise, and come Sunday, I think Falkirk's players will be determined to shine and earn their place in the semi-final starting lineup for the following week. So that will be awkward for Rangers. But listen, I mean, the last time they went to Falkirk, the night Russell Martin was sacked, if you had said to Scott or any of the Rangers fans that night that come the split, you're going to be right in a 3-way title fight and you've got every chance to win it, they would have bitten your hand off for that.
Roger mentioned Scott Volson, Andy. Is it... I think we got, did we get a call on Saturday? It was like along the lines of, it was a good win, it was good to be top, but, well, you know, wasn't impressed with Scotford, something like that. You know, that's maybe it's not Rangers' absolute priority right now. They're just trying to win a league. Whether they do with them, without them contributing, it doesn't necessarily matter too much. But at some point, a decision will probably need to be moved towards on whether the chequebook comes out.
Yeah, I'd imagine that decision's already been made based on what we've seen so far. Do you know what? I think it's, there's such a huge element of frustration watching him at times, because he's obviously got such a good pedigree, such a good CV. I think he's nearly 50 caps for Denmark, what he did at Club Brugge to earn that £14 million move. But again, when you watch him, there just seems as if there's almost very little interest to get involved in the game. You know, it's all very safe. It's receive the ball and come back and pass it to the fullback, pass it to the centre mid. Now, he's probably been given more opportunities than you'd expect, because Gassama has been on a really poor run. But for me, I can accept Gassama's poor performances, because there's directness in there, there's trying to make a difference, there's trying to make an impact at the final third. There's no real interest in trying to affect the football game with Scott Wilson.
Absolutely. And by the way, what does that say about Oliver Antman before we go any further? And at least Gassama did have an assist for the Asgard goal and did affect the game when he came on in the second half.
Thank you very much to Scott. What about Billy? What's your confidence about the title looking like now, Billy?
Well, just like the couple of Celtic supporters who were on before me, you know what I mean? If we win every game, we win the league as well. You know what I mean? And I think one of our hardest games will come, you know what I mean, this weekend against Falkirk. Because any team that goes to Motherwell and does what they've done to Motherwell, you know what I mean, is a danger. You know what I mean? Because Motherwell have been brilliant all season as well. Played some of the best football I've ever seen in Scottish football. But again, as I said, don't I mean, if we won our games, the league's yours. We don't need to worry about anybody else.
The thing about these sweeping statements is that true for them all? Yeah, all three.
Yeah, probably will be actually. Yeah.
All three teams can say if we win all our games, we win the league.
Yeah,
so it's like Billy's right, so I couldn't contradict him. But that's the beauty of it. That's why it's so intriguing. That's why it's so tight. If that's a comfort to Billy from a Rangers perspective, it'll also be a comfort to some Celtic fans and a comfort to some Hearts fans as well.
The one thing to argue with that point is none of the three of them look capable of winning their last six games in the spin.
And I think added on to that, you're playing against Falkirk twice, who you've not beaten this season. You've not beat Hearts at Tynecastle. So it's obviously a much easier said than done to go and win these six games. And I must admit, you're right, Billy, in that statement. I don't even think it needs to be six wins, because like Roger said, I fully expect all three teams to drop points from now to the end of the season. But as a cliche, it's take one game at a time. And for me, this game next Sunday against Falkirk is absolutely massive for Rangers.
Was interesting one point you made. I'm going to throw this back to Billy. You said Emmanuel Fernandes, Rangers Player of the Year.
Arguably Player of the Year.
Who would you give Rangers Player of the Year to, Billy?
Mickey Moore. Without a shadow of a doubt. And I mean, the caller was on previous to me, who spoke about John Souter. I don't know what's happened to Souter in the last 3-4 months, but he's an absolute bomb scare. I mean, he's been at fault, as Andy said, for a few of the goals of late. You know what I mean? When Fernandes comes back, it's him and Giga to the end of the season, and then Giga goes back to Wolves, because I don't even think we've got an option to buy him.
I absolutely love Mickey Moore. I think alongside Elijah Just, they're probably my two most favourite players in the league to watch. I love his enthusiasm. I love his willingness to, like you say, try and affect the game. That kind of old school winger, in the sense that every time he gets the ball, he wants to drive forward, he wants to take people in to affect the game. The funny thing is you know, Fernandes spent the first 3-4 months of the season not getting in the side, and Mickey Moore for the first 3 months of the season was not even 5% of what the player of what we're seeing now. Danny Rowe obviously deserves a huge amount of credit for Rangers changing fortunes, and obviously the change of fortunes for all individuals within that. But it's interesting, I don't think there really is a standout candidate. Yep. You probably have 3 or 4 opportunities. I was talking about this today. I think it is quite possible the team of season at the end of the year, there is no Rangers Celtic player in it. And if there is, I think there could be one or two. And it could be first and second in the league come the end of the season.
Do me a favour, we're going to save that conversation and that debate for a quieter night when we don't have a weekend's
we'll
worth
have
of
a quieter night for now at the end of the season
to reflect on. But thank you to Billy. If Rangers win all their games, they'll win the league, he says. I'm sure many of you agree, no matter which of your teams are involved in the title race. So give us your updated thoughts after another weekend where, again, somebody dropped points. It was Hearts this time, so it might be a nice opportunity for you Hearts fans to jump on board if you can, and we will speak to you next.
Team of the year right now.
Just you hold that thought, Andy Halliday. I've got business to take care of. A huge congratulations to our latest winner, Jen from Arbroath, who won an incredible £750,000 on Good Friday.
Buy a house for us, treat my girls how I want to without having to think what's in the bank. Oh my god, thank you so much.
Could build an even higher wall at Gayfield to stop the waves crashing over onto the football pitch. But anyway, well done again to Jen to enter. This time £760,000. It's gone up again. Text yes to 61025. Texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find all the rules for this network competition there, or call 03434 269 340, and all calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. Lines close 5pm Friday, so text yes to 61025.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. It's 01419511025. Keep the calls coming. It's easy stuff, this. We just ask you every night what you make of the title race, because it's not going anywhere. In fact, it's got even tighter at the top, which means the tension is rising, the margins for error are narrowing, and even more scrutiny going to come on. Is it tomorrow? It's not confirmed, is it, Roger Hanna? But we would expect fixtures.
I expect fixtures tomorrow, yeah.
Oh, good. I cannot wait. And the great thing is, because there's so many permutations, you have to think about how many TV picks can go where, and how many player teams have been to X venue, and who's away and who's at home. The man for all that sort of detail is undeniably Gordon Dale,
yeah.
who will be here tomorrow to explain everything.
He will cut through any intrigue or
suspicion.
I would suspect, if there's one man for this, Darby Steele's the man for it.
He could probably predict the fixtures right now, yeah. All of them.
Yeah.
If we asked him,
told him who's in the top six.
Brody is a Hearts fan, right, Brody? What's it feeling like now? Andy Halliday has been your biggest supporter for the title race. Even he's wavering a bit. Where are you?
Evening, boys. Gordon, Andy, Roger.
Hi, Brody.
Doing Brody. Well, thanks for having me on.
Pleasure.
Aye, so I'm phoning basically with regards to I think some of the reaction from yesterday's result. From a Hearts perspective, has been a little bit over the top from other fans and dare I say some other pundits as well about the sort of drop off. You know, I mean, we've been hearing the whole your bottle's gone every week, every month since September, October time. So it's become a little bit mundane. And I think when you look at Livingston in particular, I think Marvin Bartley deserves like so much credit in terms of how well he's done. The results that he's had, I mean, he drew a Hibs, he drew a Rangers, Hearts, Dundee when they've been in decent form, and he only lost to Celtic in a last minute conceding of the goal. And I think as well for me, going forward and looking at Hearts, is going into the split, we're starting to play we're guaranteed to play five games against the higher level of opposition, which is where we've had our most success this season. So I think, you look in the last maybe 6 weeks, 8 weeks or something, teams like St Mirren, teams like Kilmarnock, teams like Livy, these are the kind of teams that we struggled against when we're maybe, you know, playing, having to break them down, and teams that sit more men behind the ball. So I think as we go forward and play teams that are maybe a bit more open, maybe we could play a bit more football, it actually might be like suit the way that McInnes has got us playing. But yeah, I just don't get the whole drop off, and there's a few people before me on the line talking about us are guaranteed to finish third, and I don't see that narrative unfolding.
I don't mind a positive spin. I think there's room for it. Roger and Brodie's talking about maybe stylistically you're better suited to play in the top teams, but there is an obvious counter to that, which is the so-called lesser teams, the teams at the bottom of the league, should be easier to beat. And this away form, it is 1 point out of the last 12 available on the road. Livingston, it started at St Mirren, of course, didn't it? Ibrox, Kilmarnock, and now Livy.
I spoke to Stephen Kingsley after the game yesterday, an interview coming soon at Scottish Sun, a wee product placement there, Gordon.
I'm sure everyone's rushed out to their newsagents.
And it was Stephen that made the point that Hearts' record against the other top six teams is by far and away the best.
Yeah.
And for reasons that no one can really explain, they do seem to excel. You know, they've gone to Falkirk and won. They've gone to Celtic Park and won. They went to Ibrox early in the season and won. So they will go into the post-split. Well, they're going to starting with Saturday, because you could effectively say they're into fixtures against the top six because they're playing Motherwell this weekend. So they'll go in with confidence. I'm not buying anything about bottle going or bottle crashing and any of that. They just seem to have a difficult half hour at Livy yesterday. The away form has not been great. 1 point out of 12 isn't great. There is no sort of pattern there. You know, one of the games were at Ibrox and lost 4-2, having led twice. One of the games they played an awful long time with 10 men at St Mirren. One of the games they didn't turn up at Kilmarnock. One of the games yesterday, they were excellent from the moment Stevie May scored for Livy until Lewis Smith scored the second goal for Livy. 50 odd minutes of the game, Hearts were excellent. They were good. And then they just seemed to fall out later in the game. So Brodie's right to look for positive things to grasp at. And if you look deep enough, I think all three title contenders will have plenty of positive things to grasp at. But there are also weaknesses in all three teams.
So do you take heart, Brodie, from the fact that you went back top? You are still top, rather than opposition fans who are saying
100%
that gap though has got much smaller than it was.
Yeah, I think obviously you guys will hear it just as much as we do, but I mean, this is the first time in like my life we've ever been in this situation. But it's become the norm every week as soon as we have that slip up of this is it, and we've came back from that. I mean, if we get beat by Livingston yesterday and we sit second in the league, it's not a massive difference. But yeah, we would have won 3 points yesterday. But I think Roger's spot on in that we played well. I think we have struggled though with the teams in the lower part of the league who are like fighting for their lives to stay up, but we've still had to try and bait them down. That is where we struggled. But I don't accept that narrative at all that. A draw at Livingston when they've drawn against Hibs, Rangers and Dundee before us, and then only, as I said, conceded last minute to Celtic under Marvin Bartley. And as I said, he deserves a massive applaudits for what he's done. I think he's sort of steadied them a wee bit, and they've been unlucky in a few of their games. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't buy into that for a second that we're out of it when we're still top. Do you know what I mean?
Are there any patterns either way, Andy? Because Roger's talking about those, yes, four away games, but they've all been totally different in totally different circumstances. Brodie's talking about, you know, not being able to break teams down. But then again, on the other hand, I don't think, certainly being at the game yesterday, it didn't feel like it was all about Hearts trying to break Livingston down and then fail, maybe for bits of the game. Yeah. But to state the obvious, Livy scored twice. Like, yeah. You know, Livy had opportunities. It certainly was an end-to-end start before Hearts regained that control. So where does this leave Hearts overall?
Well, first and foremost, I thought it was a fantastic game. I thought it was a very, very good game, and I thought both teams had huge contributions to why it was such a good game. I think the worrying aspect for me with Hearts is I thought they were so free-flowing in attack at the start of the season. I thought they had goals coming from all over the place. For me, I think Kizeridis was arguably the player of the year in the league up until January, and I think he's fallen off in terms of his form over the last couple of months. And you know, the last four wins, Brodie, have been 1-0, so it's not been the Hearts that we've seen at the start of the season where they're scoring 2-3 goals. You've got a goal for Shanklin, a Braga, because you need a set piece goal for a Halkett or a Stuart Finlay. So I think there has been a slight drop off in performance levels. Now, the positive spin I'll put on it is seeing that partnership of Shanklin and Braga back on the pitch yesterday, because that was a positive for Hearts yesterday.
Yeah,
you know, two of them back on the pitch.
How
two
good
of them
was the header. It was just like the most. There's just not many.
It's a fantastic
goal. You just don't
goal.
See those types of goals anymore. Shanklin's like pr- primed for that type
brilliant,
of finish.
Brilliant delivery, brilliant delivery, sorry, brilliant head up. My favourite out of them all was actually the little chip that he tried, that he just got he just got wrong, it just went over the bar. But you talked about they two being back on the pitch for Hearts, Gordon. Hearts had 19 shots yesterday. Shankin and Braga contributed to 15 of them. I mean, it just shows how proactive they were in the box, how alive they were, how dangerous they were throughout. So I think they two being fit, they two being a partnership for now to the end of the season, I expect Hearts to improve on the 1-0 wins that we're all talking about.
In that creativity sense then, Roger, if Brodie's saying it's breaking teams down and he thinks, you know, Kizaridis has dropped off, don't really, you know, single out people too much, but Chesnikov on the other side, it felt like there was quite a bit of fanfare about trying to get him in. It was a long pursuit. It feels like there's still one or two bits of the team that maybe needs to contribute more.
I think Darren McInnes should get plaudits for attacking endeavour, fielding that front four yesterday. But Kizaridis isn't a player he was in the first half of the season, and Chesnikov has made no impact whatsoever. You know, it was a decent ball in for Leonard for that bullet header. Shanklin then tees up Braga for the second, and you always felt it was either going to be, you know, Braga to Shanklin or Shanklin to Braga to break down Livingston yesterday. You do wonder about creativity. Where's that creativity coming from? If it's not coming for the two wide guys, you would think Beningame would come in at the weekend because Leonard's suspended against Motherwell. He's not the most creative, good player, but he's not going to create things for you. So a huge onus is on Shanklin and Braga.
See, on that, Brodie, what did you make of the red card? Because it doesn't change things yesterday, but it does obviously mean a suspension for Mark Leonard. Any complaints about it?
I don't know. I think it's the more frustrating thing for me, to be honest, Gordon, is the 90 seconds that you've got before that red card when we are passing the ball sideways and we're going to try and win a league. And as Andy says, we were watching the game and, like, you can see Halkett make that pass out wide, sprints into the box, and then the ball isn't put into the box. Do you know what I mean? So I think for me that's the most frustrating part of that. But in terms of the red card, I mean, I don't know. Like, if you're in your own half, I don't think a goal scoring opportunity, a clear one. But it's a rugby tackle. So I mean, I don't think it'll be too problematic for us. Like Benny going into there for a straight swap makes sense. So I don't think it's not like we're losing like a Halkett or Shanklin or somebody like that.
Let me put it to these two, Brodie, because you're very sensible. You're probably too sensible for us, where you say I'm more interested in the things we did wrong. What did you make of it? Were dogs was all the rage? Austin Trusty and Liam Gordon and Liam Henderson and now Mark Leonard, we've had a spate of them. I don't know how they've all came up at the same time. Brodie's asking about being in the own half on the VAR review show, to give it its proper title. That was kind of one of the main, let's call it, debates.
You asked him the question,
didn't Willie you? And I had about the Motherwell Aberdeen one, saying if you are meant to take distance into account, and they say they do, then how far is too far? Now, I wouldn't expect them to draw a line and say 40 yards is a red and 50 yards isn't, but how far is too far? 70 yards from goal, is it still a red if there's no one in front of you? What did you make of it?
I was there. The eye test yesterday would tell me it was a goal scoring opportunity.
So even though he's out on the touchline and got a full half to run into.
Yeah. And he's just simply running clear on Alexander Schorlow. So he's got an opportunity to score a goal. A very, very clumsy, a very unusual challenge.
No. It was, you're usually amazing at picking your words. It was not clumsy. Trust me, because I sit behind the dugout. He stopped and looked Robbie Muirhead in the eyes for 4 seconds before he...
I was just about to not interrupt, Brodie. I was going to let him finish and say my point. You hear a lot of people talk about that was a good yellow card. That was a brilliant red card for Mark Leonard. That could arguably have saved Hearts a point.
So you think it's
a red card? I think it's a red card. I've debated a lot of these. Yeah. I don't think you can debate that. Because what people always... Well, not always, but a lot of people forget that when you freeze the point of contact, you have to eliminate that person out of the equation. So he's not there.
You have to pretend Mark Leonard does not exist and then say, what's Robbie Muirhead going to do?
And Robbie Muirhead has, I think it's Blair Spittle, 10 yards behind him. And Altenis, 50
because
yards.
Also, it is such a prolonged hold, because as you say about the rugby tackle, so if you really do reset that, take Mark Leonard out.
If I'm a teammate of Mark Leonard, I'm shaking. It's a brilliant red card. Well done, mate.
The more Robbie Muirhead can do in Scottish football, the better. Because it allows his teammates to talk about his nickname, the best nickname in the Premiership. Lewis Smith spoke about it in the press conference afterwards. Boobsy.
Don't want to know. Thank you very much to Brodie. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time, 01419511025. Get your calls in and the lines close at the end of this break.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here, 01419511025. It's been the perfect Monday for, in terms of title race reflections, because we know Hearts drop points, Celtic and Rangers both winning. Where does that leave things? We've had people blaming Hugh Keevan's predictions. There's loads to get through from the weekend. Falkirk fans, we'd like to give you your credit as well if you want to get your calls in. Aberdeen fans, absolutely no credit doing at the moment. How worried are you? And anything else, get the calls in. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. I don't know if this was supposed to be off the record, but I've got a bit of a revelation to make. Andy Halliday and I, along with Scott Allen, did a wee event at East Kilbride on Friday night.
Yeah.
Played some live Beat the Pundit type. Mm-hmm. Your man lost.
No way.
You beat.
You feeling the heat?
Hey, boys, no. Just explained why.
That's just a fact.
Oh,
the guy I played got about 60 seconds. I got 30. He got three more questions than me.
Scott Allen was the timekeeper and didn't do a great job, right? That'll admit.
And it still went a tiebreaker.
You can't be feeling under any more pressure than I'm feeling tonight.
Why?
Because for the first time in the history of this show, my mother's watching.
Wow. First time ever.
She obviously has listened, but.
All right, okay. She's visually,
so many of her friends have said that they've seen me on the show with you guys
on
a
YouTube.
Monday night. My niece very kindly put her onto YouTube yesterday. Right. She's now downloaded YouTube on all devices and is watching for the first time tonight.
Hello, Roger's mum. Would she be in favour of how you're looking?
Oh, I've no idea.
Is that PMS?
This was Mrs. Hannah Jr. My wife bought this, not Mrs. Hannah Sr.
Okay.
So he has to play.
His mum's watching. We'll see. Anyway, let's bring in Ryan, who's in Cambus Lang. How are you, Ryan?
Yeah, not bad, folks. Yourself?
Yeah, good, thanks. Is this your debut as well on Beat the Pundit?
It is. As I say, I'm hoping to kind of disappoint Rogers mother tonight. I'm not calling.
Don't worry, I disappoint her all the time, Ryan.
I like that, Ryan. Make him an embarrassment to the family if you can. Let's toss the coin anyway and find out. The blue side of the coin reserved for Andy Halliday, and the red side reserved for Roger Hanna with his mammy watching. So let's see how we get on here. And it is, I'm afraid, Andy Halliday.
Oh,
you ready for
there's
this?
Always next Monday, Mum.
You ready for this, Andy?
Yes.
Let's give Andy something else to listen to. Ryan, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the right answer, okay?
Right, no worries.
Right, let's go then. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. At which English Premier League club did Kelechi Iheanacho begin his career?
Manchester City.
How many red cards have Hearts been shown in the Premiership this season?
Six.
Name either ex-Celtic player to score against Brendan Rodgers last night.
Jack Hendry.
Which former Ross County striker scored to knock Arsenal out of the FA Cup at the weekend?
Pass.
Which January signing got his first league goal for Rangers against Dundee United?
Pass.
Name the stadium in which Stirling Albion play their home games.
Oh, no idea.
Okay, let's bring him back, Andy Halliday. Remember, he does start on -1, so it always gives you a boost. Ryan, can you hear us, Andy?
Yes.
What were you so frantically Googling?
Rangers Celtic women's, and I showed them the game.
Why? Could you think that's going to be 3-0. One of the questions?
No, because all right, you were just curious.
Up with the women's game. All right, right.
Kate Wilkinson hat it
because Tony Watt the other night was actively. He was trying to predict the questions, and he was all chuffed to himself. I don't even think he played.
Well, do you know? I must admit, I do that with certain things, as Roger can see here.
Which,
so if one of them come up,
what about which Scotland forward just scored for Middlesbrough 1 minute ago?
Tommy Conway. Anyway,
watching it. There we go. Ready?
Yep.
Your time starts. Now, at which English Premier League club did Kelechi Iheanacho begin his career?
Man City.
How many red cards have Hearts been shown in the league this season?
Seven.
Name either ex-Celtic player to score against Brendan Rodgers last night.
Jack Hendry.
Which former Ross County striker helped knock Arsenal out the FA Cup?
Ross Stewart.
Which January signing got his first league goal for Rangers against Dundee United? Where do Stirling Albion play their home games?
Pass.
Which former Arsenal player scored for Ivory Coast against Scotland last Tuesday?
Pepe.
How many times have Dunfermline played in the Scottish Cup final? Quickly.
Three.
Ryan, what's the verdict? He does start on minus one. Is that going to be enough?
Embarrassed, I think. Honestly, embarrassed.
I don't know about that. He does start on minus one. I wish you would keep bearing that in mind.
That pace there, Andrew. That was good.
Never heard
good
that.
Questions.
In many years.
They were more favourable Monday questions in recent weeks.
Yeah, he's been whinging to me over the weekend about the Monday questions, but I think they were on the more favourable side. Maybe the producer
stadium in it though.
Feeling good about things. Lots of Easter eggs on a chocolate high. Just feeling like making the questions
do you get
easy.
Getting Easter eggs.
Oh, how good did he? How good Easter egg chocolate?
It just comes at a really bad time. I'm trying to really not eat rubbish. My house favorite? Is full.
Nestle.
Controversial.
That is.
You love
it. So any Nestle
any
egg.
Any Nestle egg. Yeah.
So his favourite one you received.
Oh, I'm going to show I'll be bad. The Marks and Spencer's custard cream one. Have you seen the custard cream chocolate? It's like no. A big. Oh.
I think you're. And by the way, I'm partial, but you are Marks and Spencer's Food Hall's number one customer.
I love
you
it.
Know every product they have.
Yeah,
he works for them.
That's true. But even prior to that, prior to the influencing gig, he knows every piece of junk that he can get.
The custard cream. Oh my, it's so good, so good.
Take your word for it, Roger Hannah. You and I would be.
If Marks and Spencer fancy send couple in,
give
it a try.
I was there at the food hall on my way in here, picking up parcels as always. My whole life revolves around it. Anyway, I can't even remember where we are. Have you done the questions yet?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. You get two wrong.
Let's go through them. Which English Premier? What was your favourite Easter egg you got, Ryan?
I'm a cream egg man myself, Gordon.
Can't go wrong.
No, you're wrong.
What do you mean?
I'm not daft on Easter eggs, to be fair, at the minute. I don't think they're as good as they used to be.
Oh, he's one of those. He's moaning about the shrinkage.
Oh, no, I'm not having that.
No, he's not. Bang on.
No.
What do you mean, no?
A lot of them are too small.
They have shrunk. No. Everything's shrunk.
Ah, but it's still manageable.
What do you mean? I think cream eggs always a safe shout. Anyway, at which English Premier League club did Kelechi Iheanacho begin his career? It is Man City. You both got it. So Ryan stays one in front. If you like, because Andy Halliday's a minus one. How many red cards have Hearts been shown in the Premiership this season? It's five. You both answered quite convincingly. Which
made
me
do you
worry.
Know what that is? It's like, just guess a number. I don't know. Just guess a number.
I'd have gone six. I'd have gone wrong as well.
Ryan said six, it was five. Do you know what? Just a very, very early shout for this. See on questions like that next season, I wonder if we should just make, just for a bit of variety, I wonder if we should go closest to.
Where did Ryan go?
I'll leave that with you. Six. Name either ex-Celtic player to score against Brendan Rodgers last night. You had the choice of
three of them.
Moussa Dembele, Jack Hendry.
I can't remember the last one, but I know that three goals was all ex-Celtic players.
Was it only 2-1 though?
No, was it
3-2. Who was the third
and
one then?
I think Brendan's team had a goal disallowed in stoppage time by VAR for the denying him a 3-3 draw.
I'm sure all three was it. Not ex-Celtic, ex-players that Brendan Rodgers had managed.
Right, okay. Anyway, you both went Jack Hendry, you both got it. So Ryan stays one in front. The former Ross County striker who scored to help knock Arsenal out the FA Cup is Ross Stewart. Andy Halliday
the
gets
Loch Ness
it.
Drogba.
Everything, every single thing a Scottish striker does just automatically means you ask about the World Cup. Is he an outside chance? Is he?
He'll be in the 55.
Aye, you're in the 55. Just about.
Nearly.
Because I'm sure we'll talk about Barney Stewart at some point.
He will have a chance. Listen, before the last major tournament, Lyndon Dykes got an injury and missed out.
It's like the day before almost, wasn't it?
People will get injuries and will miss out. So all Ross Stewart can do is keep scoring goals for Southampton. High profile game tomorrow night against Wrexham. They could come up to the English Premier League if he scores the goals that put them in the English Premier League. And if one of the four frontline strikers gets injured, he's got a chance.
But if Dom Hayam has him in his back pocket, then he strengthens his position to go. What are you shaking your head at? You weren't convinced last week.
I think Dom Hayam would be lucky to go.
That's a big shout from you.
Well,
let's go through them because we're level. Ryan Nadiri got his first league goal at the weekend. Andy Halliday moves one in front. And the stadium in which Stirling Albion play, Fourth Bank. Andy didn't get it.
I actually should have got that.
But he stays one in front. And then you run out of time, Ryan. And they had the chance to put a bit of gloss on it. Nicolas Pepe scored for Ivory Coast against Scotland. So Andy two up and even had the chance to get one more, but he got it wrong. Dunfermline. Again, the chances of people knowing this, apart from Roger Hannah.
I don't know, I was going to guess at eight.
That's five.
Is it really?
three of them in the 60s, so yeah, you're not going to know
George Steen was a manager.
So with the minus one taken into account, a 4-2 win for Andy Halliday. Hardline, Ryan.
Cheers, folks. Again, Andy, well played.
Well done, Ryan.
Totally catching under pressure there.
I thought you did all right. I mean, I've got a couple on the board.
I knew the Ross Stewart one, and I probably knew the fourth bank one as well. But again,
who's your team, Ryan?
Celtic.
Right. So, what did yesterday do for your hopes?
I thought first half Celtic were excellent, to be honest. Probably the best I've looked in a wee while. But I think if you go a 1-1 draw and then can I get a late goal like that, it's going to be good for the confidence, particularly the result at thingy at Livingston earlier on in the day. So. Still hopeful. I think Rangers might tip it, but still hopeful that Celtic can kind of keep going. And as I say, I don't see Hearts continuing the way they're doing at the minute.
Why is that? Because I feel like the Rangers and Celtic fans don't agree on much or anything. But what I'm getting coming through from the calls we have is the Rangers fans don't think Hearts will win it, and the Celtic fans don't think Hearts will win it either. Why is that?
I think the probably simple answer, Gordon, is when the last time it was done was over 40 years ago. I get that both teams have been nowhere near the good as they have been previously, but I just think they're in kind of uncharted territory here at this point of the season. I think they split. I think next week, I hope Mandy can do is a turn at Tynecastle next week with Motherwell. I think after that, I think they split. Again, there's a lot of hard fixtures in there. I think obviously Hearts have still got to play Rangers and Celtic again, so I think they've got to come to Celtic Park as well, I believe, post-split. So, again, a lot of hard fixtures in there for them. But as I say, it is any man's game at the top of the league just now.
The big chance of Andy Halliday doing anyone a favour next week is by staying away, because Motherwell were winning left, right and centre till he returned to the bench. Roger Hannah, it's not gone unnoticed.
Well, very harsh.
Very harsh, but unfortunately
I'm going to commend you though, Gordon. I thought you handled Beat the Pundit very well. You listened to Ryan's answers, you listened to Andy's answers, and you... There was no impropriety this evening.
I don't know what you mean. Elaborate.
You might need to ask Killian Sheridan.
Oh, was there a Stewards inquiry yesterday?
There may be a Stewards inquiry after yesterday.
Will the table change? Will there be a VAR after the show?
Well, Killian was the unwitting victim of this.
Listen, this live radio business can be tough. I will not hold that against Andrew McLean.
I have made mistakes before. I will do it again. I'm only teasing.
Anyway, thank you very much to Ryan on the line. Not enough to topple Andy Halliday, even though you lost live in person on Saturday night when we were
eight questions in 30 seconds. It was quick at four wrong, though.
Is that what you got through there?
Yeah.
You got four wrong?
Well, it was 4-2. I answered eight questions, I think.
Anyway, never mind. Right, 0141 951 1025. Whatever you've got for us, share it now. We'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday are here. It's 0141 951 1025. So get in touch and let us know what you are thinking after another big dramatic weekend across the Scottish Premiership. Still looking at all the different angles from the title race and what it means and who's got the advantage now and all the permutations, and hopefully we'll get the fixtures tomorrow as well. But let's do this first.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Right, teaser time. I think it's pretty doable for men of your capabilities, but thank you to Barney and Falkirk.
No way.
Presumably not. Who sent this one in. Big thanks to our sponsors, Arcaplan Glasgow as well. Stevie May became the 10th player to score 50 Premiership goals for a club or clubs outside the Old Firm. Can you name the other nine? So Stevie May became the 10th player to score 50 Premiership goals for a club or clubs outside the Old Firm. Can you name the other nine?
So Premiership here.
Yeah.
SPFL Premiership.
Yeah.
Lawrence Shankland.
He's a 76 goals for Hearts and Dundee United in the top flight.
Give your mate a shout. Oh, Christopher Fairshire.
I just wonder if some of his were beforehand, but shout it.
Christopher Fairshire.
Yeah, he's got 50.
He's having a difficult day.
Why?
He was at Sky in London today. He was all excited. He was telling me this morning he thought he had the game of the day in the Championship coverage. Blackburn 0, West Brom 0.
It serves them right. Chris Boyd and Lauren Shankland, I'll take one more guess.
Martin Boyle.
Who?
Martin Boyle.
What, he said, what did you say?
I said Adam Rooney.
Right, because I thought he said Adam Boyle. That makes sense. Right, I'll give you both. Adam Rooney, Martin Boyle. Let's leave it there. You're doing pretty well so far. Thanks to Barney for sending it in on the email fulltime@clyde1.com. Was it not Stevie May's first Premiership goal? Fair play to him for making the 50. I think it was something like 60 something appearances. Yeah,
three years. It was St Johnstone 3, Ross County 3. That's unbelievable. In May 2023.
That's incredible, isn't it, for a striker, a forward player. I know he's always been more of a kind of workhorse, isn't he? And I thought he played well yesterday.
I thought he played really well.
This is not a Stevie May bashing session. It just 3 years since a top flight goal. Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah.
Which was surprising given how well he took his goal. I thought he was contributing. I thought him and Smith were. I know they scored the goals, but I thought they were Livingston's best players in the day.
I like Lewis Smith's contribution this season. Roger Glenn. Livy haven't won many games and not scored that many big goals, but he scored at home to Hearts twice. He scored at home to Rangers once, and he scored in the only game that Livy have won this season. So he's done his bit.
I spoke to him afterwards. I'm old enough. I worked with both his mother and his father back in the day. I was telling Lewis this after the game yesterday. So he was going back there for his tea last night, and he was going to pass on my best to him. Good player. He's done really well for Livingston. And if Livy go down, it wouldn't surprise me if he stayed up, if you know what I mean, because I think he's got the quality. He would do well for a Kilmarnock, for a Dundee, for a Dundee United. He would add something to those teams.
Let's bring in Jamie, who is on the line. How are you, Jamie?
I'm good, guys. How are yours?
Good, Jamie. How does it look now after the weekend?
Slightly more confident, if I'm completely honest. I mean, had we dropped points yesterday, I'd have probably been on here saying it's game over. But really, we get the win, and obviously Hearts dropping points as well. It's obviously wide open. But my 2 points are coming into the last game before the split. On paper, now I know football doesn't always work like this, but on paper, Celtic have the easiest game next week. And then after the split, we have got the advantage of 4 home games. And I'm hoping, I'm hoping that's what gives us the slight advantage to go and win the league. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think Celtic Park's been a huge problem for Celtic this season. Obviously their away form slightly different, and I said at the top of the show, Jamie, I've been on the Hearts team for a long period of time. I felt like Rangers are second favourites. I felt that for a few weeks, but my opinion could completely alter given the next game week, that Rangers have a really difficult game against a Falkirk side they've not managed to beat this season. That'll be away on the Sunday. And we've been speaking about, you know, the team that tends to play on the Sunday has been the team that has tended to drop points in this title race. Obviously, Hearts have a difficult game at home to ourselves, Motherwell. And yes, you do have the more favourable game at home to Swindon. That being said, Swindon are obviously in a decent run of form with back-to-back wins under Craig McLeish. But if, again, I know you hate that word if, Gordon, but if Celtic are to do the job on the Saturday and Hearts or Rangers do drop points, I think if it's within a couple of points going into this, but I think you've then got to say that Celtic have a great chance, given not only do they have 3 home fixtures out of the 5, but 2 of the home games are against Rangers and Hearts, against the direct opponents for the title race. So it's
one at Parkhead.
But to be fair, I was thinking about that in my head, but that's where Jamie does acknowledge it, because that bit that you meant, that's not the on paper bit.
No,
you know that, of course there's good other arguments there. Hearts have won at Celtic Park. Rangers have won at Celtic Park. Hibs, who don't... Where's that game again?
Easter Road.
Right, but even at that...
They won at Celtic Park recently.
Hibs have won at Celtic Park. Yeah. But that probably still doesn't change the fact if you go to Martin O'Neill or Callum McGregor or whoever and say, you need to play Rangers and you need to play Hearts, where would you choose to play them?
100%.
You still choose the home. So that's the on paper bit, isn't it? That can be ripped apart, but it still remains.
And listen, we've had supporters of all 3 teams in the show tonight, and they're all grasping at the positives that persuade them that their team can win the league, and they're quite right to do so. We are entering uncharted territory here now, Gordon. We haven't had a title fight like this with 3 teams in it for 40 years. We don't know whether Hearts can see it out, because they haven't been asked to see it out. We don't know whether this Rangers team can see it out, because they haven't been asked to see it out. And even this Celtic team, yes, Callum McGregor, Kieran Tierney, all the guys, they've all won league titles before, but they've never won this Premiership title under the type of duress that they've been under this season.
Having to come from third with six games to go, essentially.
From third, and also, you know, having these must-win games, you know, sometimes the league's gone beyond the split, but, you know, quite often at this time of the season, Celtic need 3 or 4 points from five games to win the league. Now they might need 15 points from 5 or 6 games to win the league.
It's funny, because we now... I take your point, because nothing can possibly keep us away from sort of conspiracies or complaints. Yeah. But I do think they take on a different nature when the fixtures are announced tomorrow, because usually it's all down to when can the league be won for Celtic, really? You know, when can it be won? And is it going to be against Rangers?
Yeah.
And do you embrace that or avoid it? Whereas now it's not actually about... It's not really about when it can be won.
They will not embrace it. They will avoid it, especially after what happened at Ibrox.
You can't. There's no... You couldn't selectively avoid that. It's going to be nearly impossible to predict when the league's won.
But the league won't be won in the first couple of match days after the split.
I know, but what I'm saying is, even after that, there's too many moving parts anyway.
The league won't be won in an Old Firm game. You know, the team that prevails in the Old Firm game after the split will not walk away with the silverware.
But that's what I'm saying. Even if I don't think you could design it that way. Do you know what I mean? There's not. It's going to go too deep into it, is it not? So you'd be leaving it completely up to chance anyway.
It'll be winning a big game. Somebody will win it in a big game in front of the TV cameras, and there'll be drama, and there may well be a helicopter involved. But I don't think it'll be a Rangers Celtic game that decides. Mm. You know, it will be the game that sees a team walk away with a trophy.
Well, you might need to make it last for that to even be a possibility.
I think they'll make it early.
And I genuinely do believe that it's going to go to the last game week.
Yeah,
whoever's going to win the league.
What I'm saying to you is, though, right? That takes on a different. If it's a different theory, because Hearts are top anyway. So you're talking about it. It might be Hearts against one of them.
Well, maybe Hearts winning it at Easter Road.
Oh, can you imagine?
No chance.
Jamie, what did you?
Can't allow that.
What are the bits that you like, that gives you the confidence, and what are the bits that still maybe hold you back on Celtic's title credentials?
So the bit that gives me confidence is, obviously, we've got the home advantage after the split, and then when you look at Hearts away form recently, it's not been that good. So I think they've lost and drawn their last 4 or 5 away games. And you've got, obviously, Rangers are thereabouts. To be fair, I do think Hearts will finish third. I think it is going to be between Rangers and Celtic. Hopefully Celtic, but you've got to look at the away form as well in Hearts, and that's what's given me a bit of more confidence.
Well, but the other hand, then, anything that about the Celtic team that still worries you?
But all worries me, to be fair. But let's be honest, Ken, there's no point in any Celtic fan denying it. We've been lacking a striker for long enough now. Shinshara's sadly just not cutting it. If any actual can keep himself fit, he would be my preferred striker, to be fair, if he can keep himself fit.
Are we any closer, though? So again, good win yesterday for Celtic. We've given them credit. Any closer to fixing that? Because I think all it did yesterday was maybe reinforce what people thought, that Ian Atchell probably is the deadliest, you know, the most clinical.
That's his first goal in 6 months.
Exactly. And Jamie says, you know, if you can keep him fit, but I mean, it's April, right? And and if we're being, don't maybe too unfair on him, but it's not just about actual fitness either, is it? Even if he's fit and available, is he dynamic enough to lead your line for 90 minutes after?
The way he was used yesterday is probably the best use of Kalinic. Right.
So there you are then.
If it's 1-1, so you need a goal.
So who's
get him on.
So who's the starting number nine?
I know he didn't have a great day in front of goal yesterday. I think Chivanchera offers more than any of the rest of them. Adamu, the Maeda through the middle thing has, I think, come and gone. Iheanacho, for me, is an impact sub So by a process of elimination, it probably has to be Chivancara. And then Jamie and the Celtic fans hope he has better days in front of goal than he had at Dens yesterday.
Andy, what's your take on that?
For me, I think Kelechi Iheanacho is the best striker at Celtic. If you can get a good 60 minutes out of him, I think that's a better option for me than playing the last 30. Now, I think it's a fair argument to say it's where he's best utilised, because he's shown on occasions when he's came off the bench this year, that's where he scored his kind of important goals throughout the season. But watching Chivancara yesterday, I thought Luke Graham got the better of him from essentially minute one to the time that he left the field.
Good player, Luke Graham.
Yeah, he is a good player. And then when he's presented with opportunities in the box, which have been pretty few and far between, I don't think he looks like a natural goal scorer. I think that chance he misses where he, like he says, he goes in the 1v1 against John McCartan, I think Kelechi Iheanacho scores that 9 times out of 10. And I don't think, for me, Chivancara looked all that comfortable. And I don't think he showed enough within the 60 minutes.
Is Iheanacho the one to sort of run through and play on the last line and that sort of stuff, you know, to get yeah, those chances?
Well, I think from that particular scenario, it's Dyson Maeda stealing off the ball, stealing the ball off Jan Danda at the halfway line. So it's not as he never had to do all that much. It was from there. It was just a simple slip pass where it was two on goal. I think he's Kelechi Iheanacho's best chance against Dundee United at Tannadice was relatively similar, where Bio Hitati plays the ball down the left hand channel and he has a strike at goal, which is saved. It's not one of your strong points, but I certainly think he can still do it.
Thank you very much to Jamie on the line, 01419511025. On the teaser tonight, we're looking for, it's a bit of a nod to a milestone that Stevie May reached yesterday. He became the 10th player to get 50 Premiership goals for a club or clubs outside the Old Firm. Who are the other 9? So Lauren Shankland, Adam Rooney, Martin Boyle and Chris Boyd so far. I will take one more each.
What year is it from?
The Premiership here is 2013-14 season.
Just, he's wrong. Liam Boyce?
Yes, Roger will take one from you.
Let's go to say Simon Murray.
Yeah, let's leave it there. So Liam Boyce, Simon Murray, which means 3-2. Let's bring in Jim and Belsill. What's your point tonight, Jim?
Hi, evening, guys. I don't think Celtic have given enough credit for actually staying in the title race. I think there's a couple of things that get me. Under Martin O'Neill, his record is every bit as good as the Rangers manager. People were on about in the last couple of months about the Hearts injuries, the two injuries, you know, Shankland and Devlin. Fair enough. They're coming back now, but we've been missing two of our best defenders, and they're not coming back. You know, they've been missing all season. So I just feel that, you know, there's a wee bit of sort of underappreciation how well we've done to hang in there and bearing with a shout.
See this stuff though, Jim. Because like you are Celtic and you have done so well in recent season, you've almost earned that higher bar, and you know, you can't maybe be selective about when you get that. You know, getting credit for still being third, this is Celtic, you know, that we're talking about, isn't it? Did that not jar with you a little bit, the standards that you've set? So rather, you're viewing this, I can tell that a lot of people do it as if us or people, you know, are too negative about Celtic, not giving Celtic enough credit. You've earned the right to almost be held to a slightly higher standard than that. And on the subject of injuries, it's then the same. Yes, you've had injuries, but have you seen your budget compared to Hearts? So naturally, if Lauren Shankland is out for them, people are going to focus it on it a bit much. I don't think it's a criticism of Celtic.
Oh, there's no doubt. Talking about the higher standard thing, our standard has come down. You know, I mean, our last three transfer windows have been an absolute disaster. The failure to replace Kyogo again in the summer, we get rid of Ida, who had scored 20 odd goals. So you know, the centre forward that was discussed in the call before, we haven't got a decent centre forward. You could mix the three of them and bring them on and substitute them. Maeda,
Chivancara,
yeah, and mix and match them. One will do well, and then they'll come on, and one will be an impact. So we haven't got a centre forward. That's a definite. And their standard, I do accept that. Our standard's definitely come down.
See, I mean, listen, Roger, as usual, maybe like the truth's in the middle. It's not some attack on giving Celtic credit. No, I don't mind it, but it just feels
it's a good debate, because Celtic should be there, and I know they've suffered all manner of misfortunes and misadventures this season, as Jim says, but with the budget, with the size of squad, the size of club, they should be there. They should be there regardless. And they are there, and they get a bit of credit. And I said that on the show. They're much, much improved for the way they played at Tannadice a couple of weeks ago. It's the most bizarre season I can ever remember. They're in with a shot. They're in with a very good shot. They might end up, as the first caller said tonight, with a double. We don't know. But with six games in the league to go, what we do know is they're very much in the title race.
Yeah, and I think they're very much in the title race, and if they can get more performances like the first half that they did on Sunday, then they're certainly right in it. But I do think they, you know, can they try and find that 90-minute performance that has eluded them for the most part of the season? Can they get at least a couple of bodies back fit? I don't know how many. I know quite a few of them are long-term injuries. But I do think that striker position has been a huge issue for Celtic throughout the course of the season. They've been fortunate enough that the likes of Benjamin Negan's been able to pop up the odd goal or not. But I tell you what, it's some mess, and it's only going to get better,
and
I think.
This is where it's hard for us all, isn't it? Because we want to make these big conclusions now, and it's difficult when you have a nightly football phone in to say, let's just wait to the end of the season. But that kind of is, because see if this all comes out and Celtic win the league, there's a lot more weight there to what Jim's saying. You're going, do you know what? Survived the Wilfred Nancy thing, survived those injuries, and won the league. But they also might finish third. So we almost just need to wait and find out.
If they win the double, the board can say, we told you so, and just continue along the
way. And I'm sure that will go down well on the phone-in over the summer. Thank you, Jim. You make some good points. It's a good debate. That was much appreciated. Jim in Bells Hill, how do you two fancy teaming up for this? I've got high hopes for you two.
Oh.
The world's biggest music quiz for Cash for Kids Day.
Does your Beat the Pundit expertise extend to music? No?
No.
Unless the questions are about... what's his karaoke song again? Why has it just dropped out?
Tony Orlando.
What's the song called, though?
Not three times.
There you go.
Late 70s through the 80s, I could used to be. When we did the quiz on Andy's other show, didn't we?
Hot Wings.
An open goal and a Hot Wings challenge, and you got a Fleetwood Mac question right.
I don't know where that came from. I'm not a big...
Oh, I love Fleetwood Mac. I love Fleetwood Mac.
Not nothing against them. Just
Rumours, my favourite album of all time.
That was the question.
My music knowledge is in the toilet. Anyway, how is yours? Because if you fancy it, you think you've got what it takes, we are launching the world's biggest music quiz, Cash for Kids Day, Thursday 30th of April from 1pm, aiming to break a world record. There are some amazing prizes to be won as well, and better than all that, you'll be making a life-changing difference to children living near you. We've actually got a slightly better known duo than Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna to host it. It's Ant and Dec. You may be familiar with their work. They're going to host it. The whole Rail network of radio stations is involved, so all you need to do to play, it is so simple. Make a donation to Cash for Kids. It helps continue to provide life-changing grants and support young people living in Ayrshire and Glasgow in the West. So make that donation at clyde1.com/quiz, and we'll see you on the 30th of April, 1pm.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
That's us already in the final part. Been a quick show, but time flies when you're having fun and all that, and we, as Scottish football fans, are having fun. Something like fun. I don't know if it always feels that way when you're in the tension of the title race and maybe even a relegation battle for some. But keep the calls coming if you fancy it. 0141 951 1025. We have loads to cover in this last section. I don't know how we're going to do it. Can you name the 9 players, apart from Stevie May, to score 50 Premiership goals for club or clubs outside the Old Firm? Shankland, Adam Rooney, Martin Boyle, Chris Boyd, Simon Murray, Liam Boyce. Did you give me Liam Boyce?
Yeah,
did I just spoil one? That's fine. 3 to get. Give me one more each.
Van Veen?
No.
Oh,
wow. No. Wow. Nah, not long enough to get 50.
What about Stevie May's old pal, Stephen McLean?
No. Well, this is good. You're toiling.
Oh, goodness me.
I'm not confident with this one either. That can't be right.
Go for it.
That's not
just
wrong.
Hurry up.
Looks it's wrong.
Not interested. Tell me.
Naomi Ginn?
Yes. See, for goodness sake.
I thought a lot of that would have been before 2013.
Nope. Aberdeen and Dundee just got to 52. Okay, we'll get the other
former
two
player of the year, Michael Higden?
No, right, we'll get back to it. Let's whiz round some other topics that deserve more attention. I'll try to get a Falkirk fan who called in, try to get him back. Don't know where he's gone. Andy, do your punditry thing first rather than your Motherwell. Well, you got a good view, though. How good were Falkirk, and how good is it that they made the top six in the way that they have?
I thought they were very good at the weekend, very good off the ball. I can't back this up with any facts, but for me, they seem as if they run more than any team in the league. I think they've got so much energy, and they've got the added bonus of having quality at the top end of the pitch when they do win the ball back as well. So for me, it's incredible in the amount of twists and turns we've had this season, and so many unbelievable stories. It's so easy to get lost in what Falkirk have done. They've arguably still been the story of the season, given where they've came from 2.5 years ago, and I think they would still have been quite a fair amount of people's favourites to be in the bottom two at the start of the season. But they've managed to get top six, and I think the manner they've done it as well. Been so good in so many big games. You know, I think at this moment in time, he's one of the front runners for manager of the year again, John McGlynn.
How good a coach is he? Because when he recruited the likes of Brad Spencer, Liam Henderson, Leon McCann, Calvin Miller, they were in the third tier. And he's taken those players with him. And I heard them speak in the show on Saturday night. Gordon, you played the audio after he'd won at Fir Park. And he's bang on. They don't go and sit in. They don't go and park the bus. Whether they're going to play at home to Livingston or away to Rangers or Celtic, they go with the same approach.
Really good.
And it's so refreshing to see.
They were in the third tier, and he's right back, and he's striker at the weekend. What tier were they in? Because
one was a Cumbernauld, Barney Stewart, one was a Harry at Uni. Yeah.
And right back for Cumbernauld Colts, it's brilliant.
You gave it your howler of the weekend at the start of the show. Sometimes Mondays are like dominated by refereeing decisions, but we don't. Not loads this weekend, but you thought that was a clear mistake. Motherwell should have had a penalty earlier.
Yeah, in particular, Mass Renisi's penalty shout. It was one at the time that I thought straight away was a penalty kick, but one that you can understand that the referees miss, given he's behind the play at this point in time. The way Mass Renisi goes down, you can't really tell if there's much contact there, but it's one for me that there's no way VAR should miss, that's for sure. And the man at MLS been very quiet in terms of that incident.
Well, I was going to say, because it's easy to be, Andy's a fair man, but it's easy to say Andy's a Motherwell player, but what was your take on it?
It's a strange one, because the cameras didn't aid the VAR official. To look at the naked eye, you think it's a penalty. When I saw it in the telly, I thought, oh, that's a penalty. And he doesn't give it, obviously, and VAR don't give it. And then we're now living in an age where you begin to doubt yourself. You think, well, maybe he doesn't catch him. I'll be fascinated to hear what your pal says in the Willie Show, and whether he thinks there was enough evidence there for either the referee or the VAR to give it. It looks like a penalty, so why haven't they given it?
Well, I'm Barney in the brain from Falkirk. It's Barry in Falkirk. Let's make it, we're really nearly out of time, Barry, but I do want to squeeze you in, give you your congratulations for top six. You take it away.
Right, I would say that that was a penalty for Motherwell, but if you look at the decision when we scored a second goal with Brogio, I thought the Motherwell keeper was lucky to stay on the park.
For taking, who was it? Was it Calvin Miller he took
Miller,
down?
Yeah.
It was Calvin Miller.
Well, you wouldn't get sent off for that, remember, though, because that's just your genuine attempt to play the ball.
It might be a genuine attempt, but he never even got booked for that, did he?
But that's because you scored, though. So then it becomes, you know, you step it all back. You're not stopping a promising attack if you don't stop a promising attack because they scored.
But I thought, even though. If you played on, you could get brought back a yellow card for it.
Well, so it depends what the offence is, but like I say, if the allegation is you stop a promising attack, then he didn't stop a promising attack because they scored. Anyway, like, purely because we're so late, Barry, and it feels wrong to not really congratulate you genuinely, so how pleasing was it to make the top six?
Oh, brilliant to make the top six. Never expected it 3 years ago. Big Barney, Keelan Adams, brilliant. These players have just come for Cumbernauld Colts, and he's still at Heriot-Watt University. He finished his degree. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant for Big Barney. I hope he gets straight to the World Cup.
You wouldn't be surprised, just purely because of the trajectory he's on. It's absolutely Incredible.
Was that 18 for the season now, if you include the goals you scored for Dunfermline in the first half? Really, it's absolutely fantastic.
Thank you to Barry, well done again on the top six. Quickly, I mean, we're out of time. It's a token mention, but I feel like if there's one thing we've not really spoke about, it's probably Aberdeen and the relegation playoff spot. Kilmarnock are still in it though.
They're in bother, and I believe Andy Halliday said in another show they would be the team he thinks will finish 11th. Maybe difficult to argue with that.
You see, when Motherwell are at the wrong end of the table, he can't say these things because it might come back to bite him. But in the lofty position they find themselves in, you can comment on the bottom.
Aberdeen, one win in 16, one away goal all season long. Look poor defensively on top of that. Look poor for set pieces. Can't seem to get the starting 11 right. Constantly making subs at half time. There can't really be any confidence for an Aberdeen supporter at this moment in time. How they can avoid it.
The most damning start, Gordon Duncan at half time on Saturday. Aberdeen hadn't had a touch in St Mirren's penalty area in the first half.
Well, and then they finished the game with zero shots on target again.
Somebody definitely told me that, and then I just passed it off. So you'd need to credit the original statter. Oh, but I don't know who it was.
No, you're a better man.
Whoever was at the game? Who was at the game? Fraser Wishart.
Fraser Wishart.
There we go. Credit to him.
Lord Wishart, PFA Scotland.
Quickly, two more in the teaser. Stevie May became the 10th player to get 50 Premiership goals for clubs outside the Old Firm. Name the other nine: Lauren Shankland, Adam Rooney, Martin Boyle, Liam Boyce. Then you're missing one: Chris Boyd, Simon Murray. Missing one: Niall McGinn.
Lee Griffiths.
Nope.
Oh, Billy Mackay.
Yes. A real spread of Ross County, Inverness and Dundee United in the top flight. Next one though, all for one club.
Oh, that's wrong then.
Well, that's wrong, yeah.
All for one club
in the top flight. John Daly.
Quickly, Partick Thistle.
Castells.
There we go. Well done. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at 6 o'clock tomorrow.